Good morning, good afternoon, good evening in some parts of the world. It's Susan, and we're here again for another edition of Where Genealogy and Spirit Connect. We're going to have a fun show. We need your calls. I want to give out that number because we have a very exciting young up-and-coming medium and pet psychic and psychic available to do readings for you. So that number is 1-888-815-9756, and that is toll-free worldwide. You know, last week I ended my show with Daniel Horowitz with MyHeritage.com, and I guess you're probably wondering how in the world a genealogist is tying in some of these new spiritual tools to what we're doing. And I had to laugh, and I think the closing of our show was pretty hilarious because he was talking about being at a conference and how they were visiting cemeteries, which genealogists always seem to do. And when you can't find someone, that sometimes the best thing is just to call out their name. Now, you people remember that there is a song about that, I think back from the 60s, you know, call out my name, I'll be there. And I think that that pretty much ties into how things work in the spiritual world. And I think Melissa is going to be able to talk about that a little bit, too. Because really, sometimes, as a professional genealogist, when I get brick-walled, sometimes I'll just sit back, I'll call out the name, and the funniest things start to happen. I start finding clues and things about where I might find what it is I'm looking for. So it has been very successful. I think we ended the show, too, where I happened to mention that I was in a cemetery in New York and was running around. I couldn't find who I was looking for. I was getting very frustrated. My father was ill. He was not, he wanted to go home, and I had not completed my task. So I did just that, and I went running in a direction I felt I was being guided, and I ran up this mound, and I slipped, and I fell. And I fell actually on a tombstone, and when I lifted myself up by my elbows, all I could see was the name of the ancestor that I happened to be looking for. So it does work. I know it, and I am not a medium by any stretch of the imagination or a psychic, maybe intuitive, but we'll talk about that too later. So my guest today is Melissa Fry, and she is probably one of the most up-and-coming psychic mediums. And she was a two-time nominee by IPAA. And her gift started when she was very young. And I think a lot of us have had these gifts, and I think we'll talk about that too, really. Since we were very young, we just happened to shut them off. I can vouch for that because I had these gifts many years ago, and I did shut them off, and that was long before I was a genealogist. And near-death experience a couple of years ago kind of switched the gears a little bit. So we're having to relearn some skills, but it's been fun doing it. So, Melissa, here we are, and how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, one of the things we talked about is, you know, your accuracy rate, and that, you know, if you want someone to come, that it's pretty amazing how they'll be standing in line for the privilege to speak through you.
And, it is.
And let's talk a little bit about your gifts, and hopefully we'll be waiting on the calls because this is a rare opportunity, folks, for you to have an opportunity to get a reading like this. And I'm going to open it up. It's not just for elusive ancestors. Let's open it up. If you have a pet that's trying to talk to you and you don't quite know what it's saying, or you have an issue in your life that you need some answers, let's give it a whirl today. So, your gift started when you were 7. What exactly happened that turned you on to the fact that something was going on?
It was a wild, wild story. I was 7 years old, and I was staying at my grandfather's house, and I was sleeping upstairs. So, if you can imagine, my bedroom was at the end of the hallway, and at the other side of the hallway was my grandfather's room. And I kept getting this really, like, eerie feeling, like somebody was there. You know, like that feeling where somebody's watching you?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't go to sleep. And all of a sudden, I opened my eyes, and I'm looking down the hall, and I see these two men coming down the hall. And of course, you know, being seven, I get really scared. And I started to notice this one gentleman looked really familiar. It looked like the next door neighbor. So I got up and I started screaming. And as I ran down the hall and I was screaming, I ran through the men.
Oh my gosh.
And I went to my my grandfather's room, and he tried to get me to go back to sleep. Well, that morning, the next door neighbor had passed away that night. We had found out. So that was really my first encounter with, like, actually seeing a physical spirit.
So then, over these many years, what have you done to really fine-tune your skills? I know I, for one, am curious because, as I mentioned, you know, I used to do some readings many, many years ago back in the early 70s. That's dating me. and got way away from it. And not that I'm doing them now specifically, but, you know, I am trying to redefine my tools and refine my tools.
Right. Well, you know, it's crazy how it works. I did the same thing. You know, when I was a child, I didn't really have anybody that was supportive of it. You know, my grandmother, I remember that morning when my grandfather, he looked at me and he smiled at me like, I know what you're talking about. And my grandmother shut it down. And so my family wasn't really open to any of that. They weren't open to discussing it. And I had a pretty traumatic childhood, as a lot of us do. And so I found different escapes throughout my childhood. So by doing that, it shut it down. And it wasn't until, I want to say, I'm 33 now. I just turned 33 a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And I want to say I was about 27, 28. So about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I this lady I was talking to was like, you know, you should take a channeling class. And Susan, I'm very skeptical, and people always laugh because they're like, well, how do you do what you do, but you're so skeptical? And I was like, a channeling class? Yeah, right. You know, but I went just to see what would happen and just to have the experience. And the first day, it was okay. It wasn't really my cup of tea at that time. But the second day, towards the end of the class, the woman facilitating it had said, you know, we're going to read for each other. And so this woman had asked me, the first woman asked me, she said, I had a girlfriend who passed away. Could you please, you know, does she have a message? And I remember thinking in my head, oh, crap, how do I answer that? You know, that's serious. That's someone's loved one. It's not, you know, a regular type question. And all of a sudden, I felt this, like, it was like this energy moved out of my body. And then I felt something move into my body. My whole body went limp. And then I just started sobbing and just crying. And I had no clue what was going on. And so that night, what was really interesting is that night I started having these visions. This woman started coming to me and started talking to me. And she was telling me that she had been stabbed to death and that she had been stabbed to death and was talking about 62 times she was stabbed and was going on. And I called up the lady who facilitated it, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but this woman's showing me that she was murdered. She was stabbed 62 times. I have no clue where this is coming from. And I know this is a long story, but she basically called up the lady who asked me the question, and it was valid all the way down to the number of times she was stabbed.
Oh, my goodness.
My interest was piqued.
You know, and I this is very interesting because, you know, I am a professional genealogist, and, you know, it seems lately I've been getting these cases where there is either murder or suicide or both involved. And the first case I got, you know, it was a very benign request, and they were looking for, you know, basically birth and death records of a particular individual. And one of the things that I do is I ask them, I said, well, is there any story, you know, that you need to tell me that would help facilitate what I'm looking for? And I got back this one-page dissertation that chilled my bones. And to make a long story short, the person we were looking for was the individual's mother. And apparently he had two siblings ahead of him who died very strangely and in their infancy. And he was the third child, and he was obviously kind of next in line. And instead of the mother doing what she did to the other two children, she decided to commit suicide. So, you know, when I first started working on this case, when I first saw this story behind this very benign thing, I, you know, said to myself, ooh. And I started using my intuition, and within a matter of very short period of time, I was able to get the names and the story and everything about these siblings. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was like it came so quick that, you know, I wish they'd all come this quick. And I guess I really felt like I was being, you know, I was supposed to be able to do this. And in so doing, we've gone, you know, far past that and have been able to connect with other members of the family. But I was just amazed, you know, because it was chilling, and I got very, I got goosebumps during the course and the period of time that I worked on this. And what was very interesting was the healing that went on within my client once we started to establish the facts, because up until that point, he had only known it as story. So, you know, it is an interesting process, I think, when you look at what you do as far as helping guide us through, you know, both answering some questions about the stories behind our ancestors. And, right. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here working on maybe 15, you know, clients and, you know, 15 different people that I'm trying to work on. And, you know, it's a very interesting process. And, I mean, for those of us, I think, that are kind of intuitive and along these lines as well. I don't know about you, but, you know, my mother screams at me all the time from the other side. I mean, I can hear her.
Right.
You know, if there's something I do or something I'm doing, you know, that she doesn't agree with, it's like, oh, my God. You know,
right.
She makes it very, very well known that you know, she's not.
Don't do that.
You know, I'm not in favor of that. So, you know, if, for those of you out there and who do want to take advantage of Melissa's skills, the number again is 888-815-9756. So, curious, of all the people that are standing around me, is anybody coming out? Waiting for one of my clients, not for me.
What's funny about that is your mom is very pronounced, right? So you talking about your mom, it's like she is very pronounced. She's very animated, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we get, like, some spirits that are around us that are, you know, more quiet, more, you know, subtle. And your mother is very animated. Another one that's around you a lot is a great-grandmother.
Okay.
And for that, I get an initial that starts with like an M.
Yes.
And so she's around you. She's very subtle, though. She's not a very big energy, but she's just kind of like one of those that sits towards the background with her arms crossed, just looking at everything, like observing.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
So does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
And it's, you know, it's funny because it's like I do talk about how it's, you know, the best way that I describe it, Susan, is it's like having like 1,000 little kids at the candy store waiting to get in, right?
Yes.
And so they just stand in line. And so the one thing that I wanted to say is, so like for your great-grandmother, you know, that's around you, it's like she's not saying anything per se, but she's just there. And I think that's a really good point, too, is, you know, people always often wonder, like, why doesn't my loved one talk to me? Why aren't they coming through? You know, because there's a lot of experiences where our loved ones, you know, when we go and we seek out a medium, that sometimes it just doesn't, the message doesn't come, you know, and we take it personal or feel like it's some sort of reflection on the relationship, or, you know, us as humans, we take things very personal. And, you know, and a lot of times it is like that. It is like your great-grandmother that just sits there with the arms crossed, just observing everything. But, you know, it's like you call on her, and, and she'll be there in a heartbeat. But the one thing I want to say that your mother is saying is she's talking about a car.
Yes.
So whether you've had, like, thought about buying a car or have had car issues or something along the lines of a car, she says it's time.
Okay.
So whatever that means, you just keep that for yourself. But she's talking about a car, saying it's time.
All right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one that I've been thinking about selling.
Okay, well, then it's time. Get rid of it.
Yeah, there are a few things around here I think I'm thinking about getting rid of.
Okay, start with the car.
Start with the car. Okay.
Start with the car. Get rid of the car. You know, she just keeps saying, it's time, it's time.
Now, when is your birthday? You mentioned it was a couple of weeks ago.
My birthday's September 5th.
Okay, I'm 3 days after you.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm on the 8th.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Same
to
Virgo
you.
Girl.
I'm a whole lot older than you, though, I'm afraid.
It's
much
the Virgo
older.
Thing.
So, you know, I guess, you know, those of us, I mean, I know I had, you know, partner, little play pals when I was a kid who mm-hmm. I know are still around me. And, you know, one of the things that you've also produced that I has it come out on the market yet, or your Indigo Children spirit cards?
I'm doing pre-sales right now. They'll be out in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
On the shelves, they'll be on, Amazon in about 3 weeks.
So, you know, for those who don't understand, what exactly is an indigo child?
Oh, an indigo child. I'm an indigo child.
Yeah, I think I was one, too, before they...
I think you were one, too, as well.
Yeah.
I would totally confirm that.
Yep.
You know, indigo kids are really known for, have been here many a lifetime. You know, when the whole indigo kids started coming in, when the whole influx of indigo kids came in, is when they came up with, like, you know, ADD, ADHD, all of that stuff with having a hard time with concentrating. So for, like, an indigo child, one of the hardest things is for them is because they have been here so long and they've been here so many times, it's kind of like you get that attitude of, like, been there, done that, right? It's real hard to focus in school. It's hard to focus on, you know, tasks that are presented to you. You know, your indigos are like warriors. Like, they just want to go in and soar through, find the problem, fix it, move on. And so they're very determined, extremely determined, but also extremely fragile. One of the things that I've noticed with indigo children, and you know, you could probably relate to this, is that, you know, for indigo children, it's like, as a child, you have all of these feelings or emotions because you've carried them in with you, and you don't know how to sift through them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, it's hard to pinpoint, like, what does this mean? Or and indigos are extremely intuitive, extremely, have a lot of gifts. And so, like, one of the things for an indigo child is that, you know, having all of this past experience and then having these gifts, it's easier to tune things out than to tune things in. And so one of the ideas behind making this deck of cards for kids was to be able to help give them a tool. Like, you know, there's so many deck of cards out there for adults, like angel cards, tarot cards, you know, all these different tools for adults. And I was like, why not make a tool for a child? So the cards are really geared for being able to help kids move through life and learn how to bring in different types of energy into their life, like when they need to bring in balance into their life, how to actually do that.
So,
and,
but what about some of us who haven't grown up?
They are even better for
adults,
us.
Huh?
They are better for us. Oh, my goodness, Susan. You know, it's funny because I did a test. I've done a lot of tests with these, with kids and with adults. And so I've tested them with kids, and, you know, kids love them. It's neat to see what they gravitate towards. But then I decided, I was like, that's where I got Indigo spirit cards for Indigo kids, and then I had to add on magical for kids of all ages, because the really cool thing about these is that I did this random card picking thing where I picked cards for people. I said, you know, just email me and I'm going to pick a card for you. And so I started picking cards for people, and I sent them to them what the picture of the card was, what the meaning was. And I had to tell you, that I'd say 99.9% of the people were in tears and moved, because not only did the card fit for them where they were at in their life, but the artwork, the child artwork, like, tugged at their inner child and allowed them to incorporate that with their adult self.
That is amazing, because, you know, I'm one of those. I really am. I mean, I get bored very easily, and I do like to take on things, and I like to get through with it. I do not like things to linger.
Right.
And, you know, when something becomes a Dullesville type of situation, you know, it's definitely time for me to move on. And, you know, this has been significant through all my life. I mean, through my career, through everything that I've done. And I'll get these wild hairs, and I'll say, I want to do this, and I'll go do it. And if it becomes too stiff and boring, it's time for me to move on. So I don't know how you deal with, you know, a lifetime of these kinds of issues. You know, I've always, you know, had a lot of respect for my friends who can stay at the same jobs for 25, 30 years, because some of us are at that point. And, you know, I'm starting new ones, you know, every 5 minutes, you know.
Me too.
It's pretty amazing. So
it is. It is, because I think that, and I think that's a complete example of an Indigo, you know, where it's like you do something and then it's like, okay, I got to do something new, you know,
right.
Or you have to do something new. You have to, you know, have another project in the works, you know. And it's, what's interesting is that I have a 4-year-old daughter, and she's a crystal child. And so it's pretty interesting to see, like, how polar opposite we are, right? In the aspect of, you know, me being an Indigo who's like, I gotta go, we gotta do it right now, we have to move, we have to, you know, we're gonna do this week. And she's like, you know, oh, love the flowers, love the world, I'm gonna feed the ants today. You know, and I'm like, come on, we gotta go. So
yeah.
It is, it's crazy how things are always changing. I mean, I remember even when I started doing this work, I really solely focused on mediumship, and I thought that that's all I was going to do. And now I've incorporated a lot of different things, because it's like, okay, that was good. I love it. It's a part of my life. It's what I have, but what can I learn next?
And I think, too, that's the learning experience and the growing experience that comes from, you know, being spiritual. And you know, I mean, I come out of a genealogy community, and, you know, where I've been for 27 plus years. And, you know, I know that most of them are looking at me and what I'm doing and saying, oh, my God, where is she going with all this? And, you know, and I'm saying to myself, you know, where am I going with all of this? But, you know, what I've, you know, begun to see, and I think, and I'm seeing it clearer and clearer and clearer as the months progress, is that, you know, doing genealogy and learning more about your ancestors is really a spiritual journey. And, you know, you have to incorporate some spirituality into it. And, you know, the other side of it is exactly what, you know, we've been talking about earlier, is, you know, being able to use, you know, some of our intuitive gifts to help guide us to, you know, doing the things that we need to do to find these ancestors. I mean, one of the things that it says, you know, in your bio is that, you know, one of your specialty areas is missing persons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is such a, there's such a demand for that, both looking for missing persons who are alive, that are, we hope to be alive, you know, or, you know, missing persons in, you know, what happened to them. I mean, there are umpteen thousand people who are looking for, you know, what happened to my father? He, you know, left my family. Where is he? You know, and, and these are not really genealogy. I mean, but it is genealogy. So
it is.
And you know, a lot of the work that I do really is more incorporating, you know, working with people who are looking for those kinds of answers rather than, you know, trying to take a family back to, you know, William of Scotland or something along those lines. So, you know, the, you develop some skills and you know, having become an, you know, a professional genealogist hanging out my shingle to do research, really in the last, you know, 5-6 months, you know, what I'm finding is that my specialty area is turning into really more more in tune with the missing person and trying to, you know, really find the clue or the link to put somebody back together with a family member for the healing purpose rather than it is for the real genealogical you know, stuff. So,
but I think,
in any
you know
event,
what, Susan? I think it totally ties in because, and just listen to this, it's like if we didn't find that missing person, whoever it was, and, you know, the next generation comes, it's like how many ancestors do we have? Like, I know my great-grandfather went missing back, you know, back in the day when the Nazis took over, you know, in certain parts of Germany. He went back to his farm and bam, he was gone. You know, so it's like I think that today we do do a service in the sense of, you know, being able to help people find find their loved ones. So, like, you know, in the generations to come, that's not a question for them.
And not only that, but I really truly believe there is a healing quality of making that connection. No matter what the situation is, you know, for 27 years I was involved in Jewish genealogy, and of course, you know, we had the Holocaust, and really my whole, you know, focus when I first started the, you know, Jewish Gen was trying to connect families that were disconnected. So it's always been a passion of mine to, you know, provide the connect of the disconnect. So, you know, I feel like I'm taking it to a different level because in some cases, I mean, really, unless you intuitively can try to figure it out, you know, some of the records just aren't there. I mean, it's got to come from somewhere. And, you know, some of the gifts that you have, you know, one of these days I hope to be able to hone my skills so that, you know, I can do that kind of thing because it, to me that's really a missing link in what I'm trying to do. I get pieces, and I mean, I'm now just pretty much opening up my my life here.
I would love to work with you.
I would love, me too. I get images. I mean, I can go to bed at night and I probably can see 20, 30, 40 people going flash, 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 flash.
Right.
I have never seen these people before. I have no idea who these people are. And, you know, what I've got to learn how to do is to hone that in and find out who they are and what, why they're there and, you know, to see if there's some way that I'm supposed to connect with them, whether it's to
connect. Can I give you an exercise?
Sure. Give it to everybody. Okay.
I will give it to you and everybody. No, and I teach classes on mediumship, like basic mediumship 101, on how to start bringing that in or how to bring it back.
Okay.
And one of the exercises that I do is for you to sit down in a quiet place. Whatever you do for preparation, whether it's you have a prayer or whether you have, you know, whatever kind of grounding you need to do. And, like, for someone like you, Susan, who says that, you know, you can see a whole lot of people around you, and it's so hard to, like, hone into that one, what you want to do is you want to ask them to stand in a single-file line, okay? Yeah. And then what you want to do is you want to dedicate a certain part of the, you know, the day. So let's say 2 o'clock is when you're going to go ahead, and you're going to ask them to stand in this single-file line, and you're going to sit down, and you're going to ask the first one basically to come forth and just sit there and sit with them and sit with their energy and ask the question, you know, what is your name? And it's really important because each of us has a different experience when communicating to spirits. So some hear it, some feel it, some see it. You know, so it's what is it that's going to work for you? How is that connection going to happen? So you sit with it and you ask the name, and then you just, you know, you keep practicing that. And eventually what will happen is by doing that one by one, and it's real key to ask them to stand in a single file line, you know, because that energy can be, like, very bombarding. And sit there and just start out by seeing, you know, what do you get for their name? Do you feel it, hear it, or see it? Because when I'm reading and connecting with a loved one, it never happens the same way for me how I get the information.
Okay.
And, like, just dedicating that, and and the one thing that I love with spirits is that they're great with, like, rules and boundaries. Sometimes. Some are a little stubborn.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, telling them to line up and I'm going to dedicate this time at 2:00 to communicate with you. Let's see what happens. It's like the results are amazing that I've had with that exercise.
I will give it a try because, I mean, they flash so fast and, I mean, I can't even, I mean, I can tell you, and I could, if I was an artist, I could probably draw them.
Right.
I mean, it's that clear. But,
right.
I'm not an artist, and, you know.
Neither am I.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Do you know Rita Strauss Berkowitz?
Yes, I do.
Well, I mean, she fascinates me with her artist abilities. I really am fascinated with both her mediumship skills and her skills as an artist.
Artist? I know mine would be a stick figure.
Yeah. Well,
what does this look like?
Well, I mean, these images are embedded. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, you know, and if I hold on to them, I mean, I can still remember some that I had the other night. I mean, they embedded. So it's something I really want to
try. Just try setting up a time,
mm-hmm.
like setting up, like, you know, whatever time you can dedicate, like 2:00, setting up that time. And then just, like, setting out the intention of what you're going to do. Just set it out and saying, like, okay, at 2:00 today, I want to make some connections with all of you that I, you know, had this experience with, but I want to see if we could take it a step further. And setting up the time is really key.
Okay. So, because then they'll know to come at a specific time every day.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Okay.
I'm totally serious. It's funny because a lot of my students that I work with, they'll say, like, I want to see spirits. I want to see them. I said, you know what? In 2 days you're going to ask me, how can I not see so many? They're like, no. And I bet money on it because every time, 2 days later, okay, my room is completely filled with spirits. How do I stop this? You know, and it's about, like, the time thing. The time thing has worked so successfully to have it and to tell them that I'm going to meet and sit with you at this time.
Very interesting. So,
and
what
you have
you
to
do?
Tell me what happened.
What do you do to get them to go away after you're done?
Go away. As one of my dear friends, Val, says, go to God. You know, what I really do is when I'm done with my time and I'm done with, you know, working with them, what I do is I close it up. And what I mean by that is I, you know, ask, like, angels or whoever you feel comfortable with to come in, and I thank them all. Thanking them for me is key. Thanking them for, you know, allowing me to have that experience, allowing me to be able to participate with them. And I close it up. And it's just, for me, it's a visual of me closing up my crown chakra, my third eye, because that's where I tend to get most of my messages. And I close it up. And then pretty much from there, then what I do is I flash, like, I visualize a white light flashing throughout my entire body to just kind of cleanse it. And then that's it.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's like,
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, people don't really suspect this, and I think, you know, it dawned on me months ago when I had a healer on my show, is that I started having panic attacks right after I started doing genealogy, and they went on for years. terrible. And, you know, it dawned on me suddenly that, you know, those of us who actually do genealogy, whether you're spiritual or not, that, you know, we tend to gravitate to a lot of these dead people in whatever way, shape, form that we do. I mean, you know, I don't believe in any stretch of my imagination that, you know, we're doing this just to get their birth date and their birthplace and, you know, to document these dates. This is mm-hmm. not what I believe all genealogists are doing this for. I think there is more to it in the reasons and understanding their lives and understanding the lives of these, mm-hmm. you know, of their ancestors. So I really believe very strongly that even though, some may not admit it, there is a lot of spirits and dead people, and, you know, especially when we go to cemeteries, that, you know, gather around us. And if we're not aware of the fact that this is really happening, that, you know, we might end up being unhappy, sick, have strange illnesses, depression, all kinds of things that can affect us because we are genealogists and we are dealing and dealing with the spirits of the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really truly believe that now.
Absolutely. And you know, you can. I mean, that, you know, that's a lot like whenever I do like a physical type mediumship reading, which I very, you know, to this day, I only will do like have a physical trance experience if it's one of my friends or family members where I know their loved one. Mm-hmm. Because bringing in that energy in that manner, or even like what you're talking about, it can bring on the anxiety, the depression. You can carry on a lot of their characteristics.
So, you know, I really think that some of the things that you do and either learning how to channel it better ourselves, whether we want to be a medium or we don't want to be a medium, and knowing how to channel these energies ourselves as we, you know, delve into, you know, the life and the history of another person, that, you know, we have to be careful and we have to protect ourselves and we have to, you know, really understand that there's more coming in than what we might originally suspect.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, Susan, I mean, dealing with, like, to kind of go back to dealing with missing people, you know, not only are you having the emotion, especially if the person's deceased, but is also the family members. You know, when you're trying to locate, you know, a family member that's missing and that has gone, and you're dealing with, like, the level of the energy of that, plus all of the family members, it's so important to be able to clear yourself and protect yourself because, I mean, like, all of that emotion coming at you once, it can be extremely overwhelming.
And it can, and as you, you know, do genealogy and you start learning more and more about the stories of you know, what was going on within the lives of these particular individuals, you know, I mean, you can't help but have some empathy and you know, something tugging inside that you know, you need to be able to get rid of. And I'm learning that more and more. You know, I mean, while I struggled with my own genealogy for all these many years, yeah, I'm learning that much, much more now that I'm dealing with other people's because I have found that I have taken on a lot more of this energy than I ever expected
right.
to.
Right.
And especially with some of these stories. I don't know whether we just have people who are afraid.
But, you know, what's interesting is that it's funny because I think that mediumship is like is one of those things where people can tend to be afraid of it or scared to find out. It's actually one of the most common things. I have people that'll hold on to a business card for 3 years before they'll call me.
Uh-huh. Well,
and then I have
to give everybody an opportunity
stop
one more
me.
Time. 888-815-9756. Maybe if there are a couple of things. I know you also, you know, do work with pets, happen
mm-hmm.
to be a dog lover. And, you know, I've spent time actually, you know, with my dogs, trying to get inside their little heads, because mm-hmm. I know that they're talking to me and they're saying things to me, and sometimes I think I get it, and sometimes I don't. But they're right. Amazing, amazing creatures, and I tell you, I really think that, you know, as they are as close to spirit and alive than spirits themselves. Does that make sense to you?
Perfect sense to me. Perfect.
I
beyond
mean, like,
perfect.
I mean, they're like living spirits.
They are.
And they talk to you, and they communicate with you, and they let you know when they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're, you know, I've got one that I swear I've been just trying to figure out what it is she wants to say to me, because she is trying so hard to sell me something, and I haven't figured out what
it
is yet.
Sell you something.
Huh?
What, to sell you something?
No, to tell me something.
Oh, I thought you said she's trying to sell you something. I was like, what is she going to try and sell you?
No, she's trying to tell me something, and it's this look, you know, all the time. It's the same look, and I'll, you know, say, what are you trying to tell me? So,
okay, what's her name?
I haven't figured that one out, but, you know, the talking to your pets, you know, let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. You know, how the gift opened up for me was completely not a way that I would have ever wished for it to open up for me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't something that I wasn't walking around and, you know, because I've got a zoo, right? I've owned rats, I've owned, you know, guinea pigs and dogs and cats, and, you know, I love animals. And about, I want to say 2 years ago, I had a puppy, a boxer. And he died extremely, extremely tragic. I mean, no way that anybody should ever have to experience a dog dying. And so I was devastated because he was only 6 months old, and he was like one of those pets that it was like, I mean, he was so in tuned. He was just like my little man, you know? And so basically, you know, one of my friends finally called and was like, why don't you call a pet psychic? And I was like, no, I'm not calling a pet psychic. You know, and they're like, no, seriously, call a pet psychic. And I did, and one of the things the lady had said to me was that, you know, that we had an agreement that he was supposed to go out at this point of in his life to open up a gift of yours. And I was like, you know what, whatever. It just didn't click for me. It wasn't, you know, I didn't get it. And after about 2 weeks after I, you know, started, like, getting up and I was okay and things were, you know, kind of moving along, I'm sitting there, I'm over at a girlfriend's house, and the dog's eyes gooping, and all of a sudden the dog starts talking to me. It was a straight out of a Dr. Doolittle show, right? Where I'm, like, sitting there, and the dog's, like, talking about that she's got allergies, right? And I was, like, telling my girlfriend, I was like, okay, this is going to probably sound really crazy, but your dog's telling me she has allergies. And she's like, no way. And I was like, yeah. And, you know, give her a Benadryl or, you know, see if you can give her a Benadryl. The vet's like, yes, you can give her a Benadryl. She gives the dog a Benadryl. The goop went away. And so, you know, and so now whenever allergy season hits, she gives her dog Benadryl, and the allergies never had the goopy eye problem again. And it saved her about, you know, I don't know, $1,500 in allergy tests at the vet.
Right.
But, you know, and so then I just kept having, like, these experiences where I was going places, and it was like these animals were just, like, saying something, you know, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, my goodness, that was the gift.
Okay. You know, I had to put one of my pups down about a year and a half ago, and
mm-hmm.
she had gotten so sick so quick, and she wasn't eating, and, I mean, she was laying around. It was, you know, I knew it was time. And
right.
I had made an appointment at the vet knowing that, you know, this was probably, you know, pretty close to the end. And I wanted you to know that I put the dog in the car, and she got in the back seat. And I was driving her to the vet, knowing that I was probably going to have to put her to sleep, and I turned around and I looked at her, and that dog had taken on the appearance that she was when she was 2 or 3 years old.
Wow.
I mean, it was like, you know, almost wrecked my car. I was just so stunned.
Wow.
You know, that she had just sat there. I mean, it was like she had just become a little angel. And, I mean, I cannot get over that. I mean, it was so, so clear. And she was just sitting up, perked up, looking just like she did. You know, she was 13, and she was fat, and now she was 3, and she was skinny. I mean, it was just transformation. And I knew at that point that you know, what was going on in my mind. And, you know, it turned out she had a huge tumor in her chest, I had to put her down. But it was, you know, and when we got to the vet, I mean, it was like she was back to being that, you know, sick, fat, you know, very ill dog. It was just an amazing experience for me. And, I mean, it pretty much told me that she was really going. I mean, it was like she was telling me she was going.
Right.
Because my understanding, I mean, from the readings that I've done is that, you know, when we pass over, we really take on the physical shapes or whatever of
right.
You know, as at younger ages. I mean, that seems to be, mm-hmm. you know, what people seem to say that they see is they don't see, mm-hmm. you know, the person that, you know, very sickly and aged. They see them at a very prime age. And, you know, that's really what I saw.
Right.
It was just the most unbelievable thing. I mean, I did a double take, and I had to look back, and then I had to look back again, and then I had to put on my brakes.
Well, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. My question for you is, like, with the whole, like, with genealogy and, you know, looking at ancestors, how does that come into play for you as a genealogist with, like, reincarnation?
Well, I tend to believe in that. I mean, and, you know, I had a guest on my show. I mean, I was brought up and raised in the Jewish faith. Mm-hmm. And I had a guest on my show, well, maybe a month or two ago, who is a Kabbalist. And interestingly enough, you know, when we were getting to the end of the show, he said to me, he says, I was overseas, I was in Poland, and I was visiting some place, and I had this horrible, you know, thing that I had been here and went through this whole emotional thing, and I ended up going to see a psychologist and ended up doing a past life regression. And so, you know, he says, and after doing that, he says, I've been absolutely amazed at, you know, the changes that I've had in my life and the changes that I've had in the lives of others of which I have done past life regressions.
Right.
So I do believe that, you know, while I'm here physically today and, you know, somebody will be doing my genealogy at some point one day, maybe. You know, that
right.
I have probably spiritually been here before.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It totally does. I was just really curious because, you know, with the whole views of with genealogy, but then throwing in the spin of reincarnation, because people are always asking, you know, who is my child? Who are they? You know, who are they in a past life? So to tie it into genealogy, it can be pretty amazing.
It can be very interesting. And you know, I have been working very closely with a professional healer
mm-hmm.
who does, you know, not only, you know, past life regressions, but she also does lineage clearing for the purpose of healing, which I find just amazingly powerful. Because, you know, however you believe. And I mean, you know, the different people believe different things, so you can't really say from a as a genealogist, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really more in tune with your spiritual and religious beliefs. And I'm beginning to say spiritual beliefs because I'm, you know, not so sure of the whole religion thing. But
which I hate.
The concept, you know, is that, you know, from whatever perspective we come into this earth for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And some of us find our purpose and some of us don't. And, you know, and then some of us think we have a purpose and find that that's not the one that we were supposed to have.
Right.
So we have to go on the search for another purpose. And then some of us, you know, just live our lives and don't really feel like there's any purpose other than to live our lives and raise our children and be good parents and whatever. And, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, and there are so many different beliefs. And, I mean, you know, you get into, you know, the Mormon Church and their beliefs about genealogy. And, mm-hmm. you know, you get into the Jewish religion. And, I mean, you know, the whole Old Testament is all based, written on begats and religion. I mean, and genealogy. So,
right.
you know, we are who we are because of where we come from. And, you know, whether we come from there directly or indirectly or by way of, whatever we do in any lifetime, I think, carries forth into another lifetime if you believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had to go, you know, full circle in my beliefs, because, you know, in the Jewish faith, we believe in life everlasting.
Right.
Well, that's really the spirit that lives on once mm-hmm. we die. And or we you know, our body dies. So from my perspective, and I think that this is the way I've always felt, even since I was a child, because, you know, one of the things that I have always had a problem with, Melissa, is since my grandfather died at age 5 and I started seeing him in the sky, and
right.
I started talking to him and I still do. But this started when I was 5. And ever since then, and I remember, is that when I would go to synagogue and, you know, they would say at the very end of the service the prayer for the dead and everybody would rise, and in the Reform synagogue, usually only the people who were mourning would rise. And I would cry for them.
Wow.
I would feel their pain and their loss, and it got so, so magnified that I had to quit going.
Right.
So, you know, everybody has a different, you know, belief system, and so I don't know if you could, you know, my personal one is going to be very different from, you know, somebody else who is raised Jewish,
mm-hmm.
too. Yeah, I've developed my own, I think, because of my life and the experiences that I've had. And, you know, I will tell you that a near-death experience changes everything.
Right.
When you, you know, when you go through a situation where, you know, you're dying
mm-hmm.
and you're beginning to move on, and, you know, it's a very different experience to come back. So,
right.
I've had to adopt and take on, you know, a lot of new things in my life since that happened. Because I will tell you one thing, I have never experienced such peace in my life and no fear.
Right.
And I wish, you know, all I can do every time is the minute I get a little fear bubble that pops up, is I even go back to those moments and, you know, and try to remember how peaceful it was and how no fear, there was no fear.
Right.
And I mean, you know, but I knew there was something terribly wrong, but there was no fear.
Right.
And
right.
it was an amazing, amazing experience. And, you know, from that point forward, I have been guided, to, what it is I'm now doing, which I'm not quite sure keeps evolving by the day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But there have been signals and signs and things that have been cropping up and the people that I meet, and the people that I'm being drawn to and the signs that I'm giving to go there. There's just been a lot going on for the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years for me.
Right.
That has, begun to open up and start looking at things from a very different perspective. Mm-hmm. So that's about all I know how to, explain. In my opinion, I had a new life gifted to me that day. Mm-hmm. And my goal has been to take advantage of every minute of it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, in any event, wow. I've enjoyed this hour, even though we didn't get anybody calling in. It's been a wonderful hour. And I think that for any of you who are really interested, and I can understand, too, people don't want to call in and make public some of the things that they want to talk about, and I can mm-hmm. certainly appreciate that. So if you need to contact or would like to contact Melissa, she can be reached at www.mediummelissa.com. That's MediummelissaCom. Or you can contact her at www.12listen.com. And you also have a radio show on blogtalkradio.com. What time is that and when is that?
I do. I have two, actually. I have one on Thursday evenings, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday nights, the Melissa Fry Show.
Okay.
And then I have one on Blog Talk, the Oliver and Melissa Show at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard, or actually 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk.
Okay. So, and then you do your readings through the www.12listen.com.
12listen.com is where I do all of my readings.
Okay.
Actually, today we have the autumn equinox, so we have reduced rate pricing for 3 hours today.
Oh, wow.
It's a fabulous site. Fabulous site. Lots of amazing. I teach my classes also through 1-2 Academy.
Okay.
So, yeah, but all that information is on my website.
Yes, it is. And I really enjoyed having you today, and we're going to get together on some things, I think.
I know. I would love to work with you, and I would love to hear your experience of what happens when you ask your spirits to stand in line at a specific time.
I can't wait to try that. I
thank
really
can't. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for being here. And this, again, is Susan King. Susan E. King, not to be confused with all the millions of other Susan Kings out there, but that's okay. And this is where genealogy and spirit connect. My website is www.susanEKing.com. We'll see you next week. Interesting guests for Back to the Genealogy World. We keep jumping around, but that's okay. Give us something to talk about. Our guest next week is going to be Deb Irwin with genealogyfreelancers.com. And if you're interested in hiring a professional genealogist, this is one of many places that you can go to find a competent genealogist. So, you never know. And I think that what Deb's doing is very exciting, and I look forward to having her next week. So until then, have a good week.